Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I'm really grateful for you taking the time to make Dreamers Podcast part of your life, and with your support, I plan to continue inspiring people all around the world. Do you wish you could help support Dreamers Podcast? Check out howtodream.co/support, where you can find out how to help give the show more exposure and funding, all while getting some killer rewards in the process, including a one-on-one dream building session with me. Again, that's howtodream.co/support. Thank you for all the love and support I've received. I really do appreciate it.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Dave Koch, who is making his dreams come true by completing his first full marathon. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
No problem, man. You know, it was great getting to finish your first and my first full marathon together.
Well, you had the bigger of the jobs that day.
Yeah, it's probably stupidity more than anything.
I almost clicked to sign up for the Goofy myself, but I figured I might be taking on a little bit too much that I could chew, so I figured get the first one out of the way, but I'll definitely be doing Goofy next year.
I think Goofy is very obtainable. Well, for people who don't know, who are listening in now and we're just starting, we were both at the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, which was the second weekend, it's horrible host, of January, where they had the 5K on Thursday, a 10K on Friday, a half marathon on Saturday, and a full marathon on Sunday. And actually, if you go back in to episode 129, where I had Michelle Scribner-McLean of the Mickey Miles podcast come on and host the show, take over my responsibilities to interview me for my marathon experience with her, because I ran it with her, you can learn a lot more about this marathon weekend. Dave, so you decided that a full was enough for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, how many halves have you run before this?
I have 11 halves under my belt at the moment.
Wow, that's probably a little over double what I got under my belt.
We never know it.
I know, right? Why don't we get started by giving some background about yourself and how you got into running in the first place?
All right. Well, I'm a high school English teacher who, basically, growing up, I had absolutely no athletic ability whatsoever. Came from a family of jocks. My brother played every single type of sport there was and was good at everything he did, was the school scholar athlete. Cousins, any male cousin I had, or female cousin for that matter, basically was the MVP of their teams, all of these, and I just basically crawled out of the shallow end of the gene pool when it came to that. Fast forward to when I started teaching, and about maybe 3 months into the first year I was there, I was at school basketball team's home opener. The track coach happened to be talking to one of my colleagues, asking him to become the assistant coach. And this guy said, I got way too many things going on in my life at the moment. He just had a kid, and he had absolutely no time to be able to give to anything else at the moment. He says, well, Dave just started. He might be looking for another job. Ask him. So he had approached me during the basketball game, and at that point, I was about 65 pounds heavier. And the thing that I said was, look at me. Do you think I have any business whatsoever telling people how to run? I've never ran in my life. I actually used to cut gym the day that we had to run the mile in school. So the fact that I'm actually doing this is completely opposite to anything I ever thought I would be doing. His reaction was, don't worry, we're basically what I need you to do is drive kids to a track meet. So I need somebody extra to drive the van. on top of that, are running workouts, just make sure that they're doing their workouts, stand on the track with a stopwatch and just record their time to me. So I started doing that. After a while, I was given a little bit more responsibility, and a few times he wasn't able to make practice, so I was running his workouts for him. And I was basically one of our stars wasn't really pushing his potential, and as he was passing by, I told him, come on, you can do a lot better than that. And he looked at me and said, I'd like to see you try doing it. And then he added a not-so-flattering name to the end of that. Usually,
Do you care to share it?
Said, I'd like to see you do that, lardass. And at that point, rather than make a federal case out of it, I looked at him. I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to start running. It was basically, I went a couple times just to the local park, tried to get on the track, tried to just do one lap and just couldn't do it, and basically said, yeah, forget about this. And then later on that year, I ended up going, we get a week off in February of the year. I met a good friend of mine out in Vegas, and basically it was a guy's trip, and we spent an entire night out just doing things that you do in Vegas. And we came back a bit inebriated, and after 3 hours or so, he actually got up and still wasn't feeling the greatest, but he says, I got to go for an 8-mile run on the strip. And I looked at him and I said, man, you're crazy. And he's like, well, I'm doing my first marathon in a couple of months. I got to get my training in. Otherwise, I'm not going to be successful. And I said to him, you know, I wish I could run like you. And he says, well, why can't you? He's like, why don't you start doing it? He lived in San Diego at the time. He says, you know, you're coming to hang out with me in the summer. Why don't we do a 5K together? And that was in February. So that was February 27th. I got back from Vegas that night. February 28th, I believe, of 2010, I went back to the park, and every night since then, I basically just ran the track until I could get around once, then ran it again until I can get around twice. By August, I was up to being able to get to a 5K, and I haven't looked back since.
You know, it's great. Ugh. Can't talk.
You're gonna have fun in post-production.
Nah, this ain't that bad. You know, it's great when it can all come together like that, you know, getting the insult, the proverbial insult from someone, and then talking to someone who can lift you up and encourage you to that point of, let's make something happen here and make a real change. Now, you were quite heavy at the time too, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
How much weight have you lost since you started running?
About 65 pounds.
And I'm sure you don't want to look back.
No, I really don't. It's one of those things that I've been heavier at times. I lost it. I gained it back. And I've always yo-yo dieted as far as that. So now this is something that I don't think the running was the thing that really dropped it at that point. I was very big on the Weight Watchers plan. And that was just that I actually started dropping it before really towards the end. It was when I went into my maintenance section that I really ended up holding on, starting the running that much more. So I guess it was came off a little bit beforehand, but the running helped continue it and maintain it.
Do you still do the Weight Watchers?
I'm not as meticulous with it as I could be with counting everything and logging everything. Although nowadays, basically, I want to get a little bit faster, so I need to drop a little bit more. So I think I'm going to start doing that again, but I pretty much try to stick to the good eating habits and the different portion control tricks that they taught me, just trying to deal with it because I'm a chronic overeater. I can basically eat my body weight in goodies if it was in front of me and just not even know I'm eating. I just eat because it's just there. So it's always been one of those struggles with me.
Hey, I hear that, man. I'll eat bags and bags of anything if it's there.
Exactly. Put peanuts in front of me and I can eat my body weight in them.
How did your family react to all this newfound running? Because obviously you've done it for quite a while. When did all this start?
It started in 2010 with a 5K in San Diego at the end of August. And then once I finished that one, the idea was to start training for a half and come back to San Diego the year after that, meet up with my friend. I ran the 5K while he ran a half marathon that was going on at the same time. It's called the America's Finest City Half Marathon. I basically said, all right, well, I got this under control. I'm going to come back, do the half. Basically, other plans had really kept me from doing that. My job had sent me for about a month and a half to live in France over the summer, and there went the training. So it took me 2 years to actually work up to the half marathon status, and I did go back this past August and did run that half marathon just to basically say that I was going to get that one done. So it was kind of nice to be able to run that half marathon that I was training for that I failed at beforehand and actually get that medal. It wasn't as fast as I would have liked it to have been at that point, but it was also 97 degrees that day and really, really humid, where they were basically pulling people off the course. So my feeling was, I'm finishing this one because I just needed to have that one under my belt for my own self-respect.
Yeah, it's tough when you want to get that personal record and the weather just doesn't cooperate for one reason or another that either slows you down or makes it virtually where you need to stop, but you are fortunate enough to be able to push through and finish at least.
It is quite powerful, I will say that.
Other than getting shipped off to France, which I could think of a ton of worse things there could be for you to have to do to stifle your training. What's been the biggest roadblock for you?
A lot of times, it's just time. Basically, I work three jobs. I'm a teacher, and I love to do that, but unfortunately, it just, with the salary of a teacher, it just doesn't pay the bills. So on top of that, I do the coaching because that's just part of the teaching job that I love, but I also have to work a side job in a hotel. So a lot of times it's between having to work my side job, having to coordinate track meets with the other coaches that I work with, and just the time that the teaching takes over. A lot of times there's not as much time for me to train as I would like. At the end of the day, there are days where I come home and the last thing I want to do is get out on the track and do speed work. There's times where I know on certain nights, if I turn on the television, I know I'm done for and I'm just going to be useless later on in the day. So it's a lot of mental training and a lot of making plans beforehand. Okay, you got home from work, you're not going to go out again. So go and start your run before getting home from work. Bring your running clothes. Get everything. Instead of driving home, drive to the park. Little things like that. I think it's made me more conscious of time management and a lot of pre-planning to get things done. Because if I don't plan out my training runs, they just don't happen.
I totally agree. If you hit that couch, it's really hard to get off, especially if you've already been going and going and going all day to find the energy and the oomph to get up and go again.
I think the other major roadblock is I've always been one of these people that I second guess a lot of my training. Did I do this right? Is this really going to help me later on? You know, I could have pushed a little bit further in that long run, and then I start to kind of just, the night before a race, my mind is always playing tricks on me, and I've actually come to the point now where I like to have the butterflies the night before because I usually end up doing a decent job the next day. The nights where I'm completely calm before a race are ones that I've actually had really bad experiences at where I wasn't happy with my performance at all. So I think it's kind of, in some way, it might be self-defeating, but in another way, I think it's just kind of just the way I kind of cope with everything and kind of just get myself psyched up. So time will tell on that one.
So what would you say your favorite race has been so far?
The race I'm most proud of at the moment, there's two that I could really think of. The last one was was the Rock and Roll Philadelphia, because I was just trying different methods and I really pushed myself and I hit a personal best at that one. And the other one that I'm really proud of is a local race by a company called New York City Runs. 2 years ago, their race, a half that they had, started during the same day as Hanukkah, and they called it the Hanukkah Half. And it happened to be 17 degrees out with a wind chill of about 9 degrees. We were running on the Brooklyn waterfront the entire time along the Belt Parkway, and we had water from the surf spraying us as we were running, and you were running into the wind. It was a really hard day. It was not the most comfortable thing out there, but in the end, I actually finished, and I had, at that point, what was a personal best. And it was one of these races that morning I woke up and I looked at the temperature. I almost contemplated saying, you know, it was only $26 to join. Do I really want to drive? I live in Queens. I had a 16-mile drive down there. Do I really want to drive down there and deal with this today, or do I want to just go back to bed? And I was kind of happy that I actually stuck it out, and I did end up catching a cold afterwards, and it was miserable couple days afterwards, but I look at that one finisher's medal and I realize that I can put up with anything at that, as far as weather goes with that.
That's the real accomplishment there, man. Just got to power through and stop yourself doubting, because, you know, look what you have now to show for it.
Exactly.
And not only just in the physical sense, but in the mental sense of, you know, I accomplished this, and I can, now you believe you can do anything, which pushed you along and eventually brought you to a full marathon. So how are you feeling the night before the race?
The night before the race, I was quite nervous, actually, the night before the race. I was fine all through the training process up to about the last few weeks, when it just trying to basically tie up loose ends at work with taking a few days off from work to go do this marathon. I was trying to be a responsible teacher and kind of set my students up for their midterms beforehand and be able to really reconcile taking 2 days off, being able to say that I did my job properly. And in doing that, I kind of blew off a few training runs. They were shorter runs, but the fact that I didn't get them done kind of really played into my mind, thinking, okay, is that really going to make a difference at this point? I might have just really messed myself up for later on. So again, that little trepidation and that fear kind of started, but I had some very good friends who were being very supportive at that point that really kind of just put me in a very calm state at that point. So by the time we were ready to actually start, I had this huge smile on my face, and it was like, yeah, let's do this.
And you definitely were ready, as I did get to, you know, be with you a little bit through the race. I think we've seen each other a handful of times before we caught up to where you were. How are you feeling once you, like, about, like, a little before the halfway mark?
Up to the halfway, I was fine. I really started to struggle when I got to mile 16. It just, for a while, I just lost all my energy at that point. And I was with some really amazing people that were very good runners, and I was trying to keep up with them. And finally, at mile 16, I said, guys, I'm just going to hold you up. You need to go off on your own. I'll find my way across the finish line, but I just need to take a little bit of time and just kind of walk for a bit. I tend to recover very well when I get tired, but I need to do a little bit of walking beforehand. And I didn't want to slow them up. I knew you guys were behind because I knew we were talking when we saw each other, right? You had told us your pace, what you were trying to run. So I knew eventually you guys would be meeting up with me on the course. So I figured, you know, I'll just walk until that group that you happen to be in ends up catching up, and then I'll ask if I can run with you guys at that point. So the good thing was, being Mickey Milers with our bright yellow jerseys, I was able to see you from about a quarter of a mile away because you're so tall. And it kind of actually pushed me, because for a while I was realizing, okay, I just need to be alone for a couple of minutes with my thoughts. I'm not ready to run with anybody. So I saw you from about a quarter of a mile away approaching, and I just kind of realized, okay, I got to kick it into high gear and run a bit beforehand. When I get to this certain point, at that point, I'll try to meet up with you guys. And it kind of worked out that we got to the Wide World of Sports complex, where I was kind of hoping that I would meet up with you guys anyway. So it kind of worked like a charm. You being that tall really kind of helped out, because it was kind of like, okay, I have the target chasing me at this point. Keep moving, keep going forward at that point. So you were kind of pushing me before you even knew you were pushing me towards the end, Joe. So I appreciate that.
No problem. Yeah, we met up. I think this was about mile 16 or 17.
It was right before mile 17.
Okay. You know, we got to give a shout out to Team Shenanigans, because I didn't run with you guys because I was trying to take it easy for the marathon on Sunday. And then on Sunday, I was trying to take it easy to finish the marathon on Sunday.
Awesome.
But that's right. You weren't there on Saturday because you were only running the marathon. Definitely, them guys had a lot of fun, and girls had a lot of fun.
Well, that's the thing with Disney races. Disney races, there's so many people. They say all the time, you're not going to have a personal record with so many people on the course. And you pay so much money, and there's so much fun things to look at and different photo opportunities that it's more of a celebration. So I train for Disney races to finish. The other races that I'm doing now are more to kind of push me to really work for times and everything. I know that aside from maybe doing, I signed up for the New York City Marathon. We'll see if I get in. If I do get in, I'm really going to work on pushing times and everything. I'm not going to fool around like I did on this marathon. But to be honest with you, I think it's my half marathons that I'm really going to concentrate on that distance with and really kind of push. But when it comes to the Disney races, I just like to have fun with them.
Yeah, I would agree. They definitely are a lot of fun. You know, unless you're going to run at the front of the pack, completing it in a timely manner is probably not going to happen, whether you're stopping for characters or stopping to take pictures in the, you know, with the castle or any of the other landmarks among the parks. It's just not something that generally will happen, and you pay so much money for it, so I wouldn't want to just rush through it anyway.
That's why the joke of Team Shenanigans came up. But I do want to add, while we do have a lot of shenanigans beforehand, we're Mickey Milers first and proud of it.
Yes, most definitely. When you slowed down, what kind of issues were you running into around mile 17 and on?
I was just starting to cramp up a bit with my legs. I think it was more of once I started to walk, it was the cramps went away. I took a few salt tablets. For a while, it was just basically, after that, it was basically just a breathing issue. It was more of lung capacity at that point. It was getting a bit warmer at that point. And while you train out in New York, it was cold. You're training out in colder weather. Yeah, your lungs kind of deal with the thinner air. The hot, humid air at that point, I think had I been in a warmer climate for a bit, I would have got used to it a little bit more. I think it was just kind of the one extreme to the other at that point was really starting to bother my lungs for a bit. So I needed to kind of just take a little time to breathe. And at that point, it was also, I was getting a little, I guess where people start to hit the wall and start to just, your mind starts to wander. I was starting to basically get into that point of, what exactly am I doing here? Why am I even putting my body through this? Am I crazy? What's going on with all of this? So I kind of needed to have my little private little freak out where I don't like to complain to people, but I needed a little bit of time to just kind of just be on my own and just kind of just complain to myself and basically acknowledge my insecurities or my annoyances, and then basically say, all right, now, David, you gave them space, now get over them. By the time I met up with you guys, I was ready to do that again.
Could you describe the feelings that you were feeling as you crossed the finish line?
Crossing was just one of those, believe it or not, it was one big blur at that point. I was glad to see a lot of my friends. One of the things that I was really happy about was my friend who had got me into running in the first place, who basically was the one that told me in Vegas, yeah, you know what, you're going to start training for that 5K and meet me and we're going to run it together. He actually came out to Florida to run the marathon at the same time. And basically, he's an ultra marathoner. He's an Ironman. So he finished way earlier than I did. I think he had a really fast time, And he was able to go back to the hotel, change, and he was actually out in the stands at that point waiting for me to come through. So basically to be out there and see him, that was a really important part of it for me, because he had brought me to this spot and everything, and him giving me the thumbs up was major validation that I needed. Believe it or not, there was a little, and I'm not proud of this, but there was a spiteful part of me, because there were certain people that have told me, yeah, you know, you don't have to really do this. A half marathon is enough, and a marathon is a whole different animal, and it's okay if you quit midway through. Nobody's going to think less of you. And there were a few people that really doubted that I could attempt this and actually get it done, and they kind of really, in some way, they actually pushed me further to actually get it done at that point, because there was just a part of me that just needed to prove them wrong. I do remember basically as I was crossing, basically saying, yeah, I think I need to call them and basically say, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. So I'm not as proud of that part, but there was that little part of me. I think after I crossed and I had a couple minutes to just kind of just take a deep breath, walk over to where they were giving the medals. When they gave the medals at that point, I had to actually go off to the side where everybody else was, because I did get a bit misty-eyed for a second. I didn't really want to show that emotion. And I think it was, I think Michelle Scribner-McLean caught it at that point. And I was trying to do it a little bit privately at that point, and I just didn't want to break down in front of the group. So I kind of just had my little, I did it off to the side, realized, okay, get your emotions back in check and go back and rejoin the group at that point and get your picture taken.
Yeah, I was wondering where you went off to. I didn't realize.
I also called my father at that point, because he's always been my number one supporter at this. He basically, every day when I went out for a run, he would just check in later on and just either call me and see how my run went and everything. And many times he says, what you're doing, as far as, I never saw you doing this. I'm really amazed. And he's told me, you know, you inspire me in so many ways. And it's kind of humbling, because he really inspires me, because he's one of these people that showed me, you know, you don't complain. You just push on with what you have to do. He has two replaced knees. He has a artificial hip. He was earlier this year, some nut attacked him and pushed him to the ground, ending up really messing his shoulder up. And he just had shoulder reconstructive surgery to basically repair the muscle in his shoulder. And he just kind of pushes through, deals with a lot of pain, and never complains. So I kind of, having him kind of push me in that way kind of was really special to me. So he was the first person, aside from anybody else that was there, that I had to let him know, yeah, I did this. So I remember on my first race that I ever did, a long distance race, it was a 10-miler. It was actually at Disney, the Tower of Terror 10-miler. I actually, as I was crossing the finish line, I actually called him before I got to the finish line on a walk break, and basically said, here, stay on the line. I want you on the line as I crossed the finish line, and basically told him, yeah, I'm about to do it, and just sprinted through and basically said, yeah, that's done. So I figured this time I needed to cross on my own, because that was just a place that I brought myself to that point. But afterwards, I had a need to let him know that, yeah, I did this.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad that you were able to talk to him, and I'm glad that, you know, it was so enjoyable for you. And sorry to hear about your dad being attacked. That's crazy.
It was just one of those little things.
You shouldn't feel necessarily bad or embarrassed that you allowed people who, you know, that doubt you to push you and to drive you to do better. And, you know, because, you know, sometimes the doubt, it doesn't necessarily come from an evil place, but, you know, it can, but you can't let that, you know, you can't feel bad about that, because, you know what, you still accomplished it, and you did it for you at the end of the day.
That is absolutely true. And I will be honest with you. I think there were a few people that I really know me And I wonder, they'll never admit it, but I actually wonder if they know how I react to things. And I think they might have just said that to kind of light a fire under me. So I've always taken it as that now in hindsight. And I actually am very grateful that they did it, because that just, if that was their game, they know me well enough. And they think that much of me to kind of give me that little push. I really appreciate it now. So I really, after thinking that way, I kind of had to do a little conscious examination, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I can agree. I like it when people push me too. So what kind of dreams do you have for the future, Dave?
As far as running goes, I just kind of, now that I've started this, I want to continue. Like I said, I really want to make the half marathon my distance. I'm by no means fast by any standard runner's definition, but I want to just kind of keep on pushing through with my own goals with this. And I've actually found that running has really empowered me in other parts of my life. Different things that I need to deal with. I find that going out for a long run, I clear my head and I start, if there's an issue that I'm dealing with, I start thinking about it and I start formulating a plan to how to deal with that. So a lot of times now I'm thinking to myself, you know, I ran a marathon, I pushed through with this, why not take on other things that you might have thought twice about beforehand? Different things like professional development. I'm thinking at this point, you know, I can really push to kind of now just, I've been teaching for a while now, I might as well go out and look to become an administrator and use the skills that I have in the classroom and push on and move on, you know, to come to that process and to make the plan to start doing all of that is something that running has helped me do, because I started making those plans and kind of just evaluating where do I really want to be while out on long runs, when you're just kind of alone with yourself and your mind, and you let your mind wander.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things I love most about running outside. Least is the cold and or the extreme hot.
Yeah.
So, Dave, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I had a friend once tell me that anything worth doing is never easy. And I think that was one of the best gifts of words that I could ever have been given, because that's kind of become my mantra, be it in the classroom or just with things that I take on for myself. I realize if I'm in my comfort zone, I'm probably not being the best I could be. And a lot of times, he who stands still goes nowhere. So kind of pushing out of the comfort zone is another metaphor for running that just kind of just keeps me going. So I would basically say to anybody, you know, the comfort zone is good, but you get stronger by leaving it.
I couldn't agree more, man. You know, anything that's easy is easy, and it's not challenging. It's not engaging to me. And you know, I try to strive for things that are challenging, because I feel it's more fulfilling in life in general to be challenged.
Exactly.
No, I think that it's really great that you were able to, you know, complete your first full marathon, and I assume that you'll be doing it again soon.
Well, I'm definitely gonna try to make the Disney Marathon weekend part of my running calendar for the foreseeable future, as long as I can afford to do so. If I have an opportunity to do New York City, I'll do it. If not, if I'm not picked for it, I'll probably just really concentrate on increasing my time for halves. And I'm fine with making the Disney one my yearly marathon, but there is a part of me that does want to finish. There is one part of me living in New York City that wants to do the New York City Marathon at least once in my life. So that's something on the bucket list, and maybe the Marine Corps. Other than that, it's Disney all the way for me.
Yeah, the part about affording it is very true. It's very expensive.
That's why I'm at one of my other jobs, because it feeds the Disney habit.
Well, Dave, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on today and talk about you completing your first full marathon. I would love for you to plug how people can connect with you.
I'm on Twitter at DaveMKoch0203. Same name on Facebook.
Awesome. I'll have them in the show notes for people to click on at howtodream.co.
Thank you.
Not a problem, man. Well, I really, again, appreciate you coming on. And anytime you need somebody to go running with down in Disney, let me know.
Oh, most definitely. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on, my friend.
No problem, Dave.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
This is Mickey, and I hope you have a magical day. See you real soon, pal.